Church, and I feel like we can just say amen and go home. You know, it really is a blessed Sabbath. Amen. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we ask you again to be with us and help us to see Jesus, for we ask it all in his precious name. Amen. By the way, thank you to Elder Ball and Mary. It was good to see Alexandra up here. It's always good to see kids. Amen. And Amy and, of course, everyone that was involved in making sure that the service is going smooth this morning. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about new garments. You could also say it new clothes. You could also say it new duds. Now, I think that everybody feels good about getting new clothes, right? Everybody feels good about getting something that fits their body. I mean, women, ladies, and I don't want you to think that I'm talking bad here. This is just difference between men and women, right? Ladies will go into a store and probably gather 40, 50 pieces of clothes, right? They will try every single one of them and probably buy one, right? But that one that they buy, man, they feel really good about. Men, where's the jean stack? Get me my size and I'm out of there. However, when you put that on new, when you put it on, it does something for you, doesn't it? Whether it be the shape, the color, you know, there's even type of clothes that they call slenderizing. You know, it kind of make you look slender, make you look good. And when you put new clothes on, it almost feels like you're a new you. Like you're somebody different. Like you're somebody special. Now, clothing companies have actually taken good advantage of this. And there's some clothing companies that make you a walking billboard. For example, have you seen, especially younger people, with the words Old Navy around, you know, their chest or on their chest? Old Navy puts their name on everything they make. On the front, or on the back, or on the side, wherever it may be, so that people see. And it seems like the more brand, you know, when you think of suits, for example, you think of Armani. Just quality. Now, there's something, again, that happens when you wear something new, when you put on something new. It changes your mentality. As a matter of fact, this is so powerful that college counselors will counsel you that if you're taking a midterm exam or a final exam, you know, they'll counsel you to get a good night's sleep the night before. They'll counsel you to get a good breakfast. The next thing they'll say, wear your best when you go into the exam. And if you wear your best when you go into the exam, a lot of times, most of the times, they have proven, you will do better than if you just wore whatever. So new clothes has a lot to do, not only physically, but also mentally and psychologically, to make us feel better about ourselves. That's been proven. Right? When you wear your best, when you go out, you put clothes, man, you look good, right? If you don't, then you perhaps may not look as good. I lived in a town, I won't say far from here, but south of here, right? Where the county down there was Humboldt, or still is Humboldt. And the name that was given to people that dress, you know, and you can imagine people getting up out of bed and just walking out and going to the store. So that's the type of people that, you know, sometimes you would see. And so affectionately in the town or in the county, they were called Humboldt Honeys. Because that's, you know, kind of what, you know, they just look, they didn't look very good. When you wear something, you want to look good. Now, let me take you to the Bible. And we'll try to put this a little bit together here as we go. Now, the book of Zechariah chapter 3. The book of Zechariah is put together by 8 visions to start the book. So it mentions, you know, vision after vision after vision, gets to 8, and then the second part is focus on the coming king of Israel, the glory of Israel. Now, the time period of the book of Zechariah is during the time that the temple is trying to be rebuilt. There is a lot of insecurity that the command and the provisions to rebuild the temple are going to be taken back. So people are afraid. There is instability, both financial and emotionally. And so people are, you know, they're kind of afraid. And so God sends prophets to encourage the people. And this is one of those visions, right, that encourages the people. So let's look at it. Zechariah chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. Verse 2, the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. It is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now verse 3, the verse that Alexander did such a good job at reading, it says, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel." So again, this is a vision. This is a prophetic vision. Now, for those of you that have been coming to Revelation Now follow-up classes on Wednesday night, prophecy is always symbolic. It always represents something unless the context lets us know that it's literal. So here, as we're talking, right, it says that it showed him Joshua the high priest. Now, I've talked about this Joshua before, right? We have a dual application here. There was a man named Joshua that was a high priest. This is a literal person, right? But we also know that Joshua, or the transliteration of the word Joshua, can also mean Jeshua, which is a name, a transliteration of the name in the Greek, or the name that you hear today, Jesus. Okay? Now it says, Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord. Okay? So this is symbolic. Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. So here's Joshua, and he's standing before the angel of the Lord. Who's the angel of the Lord? Interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, as we look at this sentence, angel of the Lord. Now, Greek, Hebrew, Spanish, even English, right? There are some words that we say that can be have or can be applied in different meanings. So when it's translated here, angel of the Lord, it can mean the being or the angel who is the Lord. Now, angel doesn't necessarily mean a created being here. It can mean a divine, out of this world being. So what we're looking here is Joshua the high priest standing before Jesus. That would be the actual translation of this text if we were looking at it in the original. Now, we know that this is a symbol of Jesus. Joshua the high priest is a symbol of Jesus, but it's also representative of the actual high priest because the devil or Satan is there accusing him. Right? Now, the devil has nothing to accuse Jesus of. Amen? There's nothing that Jesus did wrong. There's nothing that Jesus failed in. There's nothing that Jesus stumbled and fell over. Nothing. Right? But the devil's there. He's trying to accuse. He's trying to do all of this stuff. God says, you know, God rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Verse 3, as he was dressed in filthy clothes. This cannot be Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus never had filthy clothes. In a symbolic way. He never committed sin. Yet Joshua represents Jesus. Right? Are you confused? Okay, just hang on. I'm doing it on purpose. Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel, verse 4, said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. So, here's Joshua, the high priest, the literal high priest. In a vision, he is standing before Jesus Christ. And before the Lord God Almighty, God the Father. There is Satan at his side accusing Joshua. The Lord says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Now Joshua is dressed in filthy clothes. Now, what is your definition of filthy clothes? Sinful clothes. I mean, if you're looking at it literally, filthy clothes would be clothes that you have wore all day long at your job, whatever your job is, and you have sweated, you have probably gotten them dirty, you have probably crawled around, you know, in dirty stuff, and your clothes are dirty. They're filthy. In a physical way or in a literal way. But in a spiritual way, filthy clothes would mean sinful. Again, did Jesus ever commit sin? No, he did not. So, if we're talking about a vision that represents Joshua, and sometimes Joshua represents Jesus, and Jesus is here looking at this literal Joshua, and he has filthy clothes, could this be representing Jesus? Let's look at it. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I have put rich garments on you. I've put new clothes on you. Right? Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. Middle Eastern, this is what we're talking about now. This is where the Bible was written. So a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The Lord, or the angel of the Lord, gave this charge to Joshua. So after he's all dressed, now he receives words. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house, and I have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. So Joshua's there. There's Satan. There's the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself. There's the Lord. They're talking to Joshua. The angel comes and accuses. All of a sudden, the angel comes over, takes the filthy clothes, pulls new clothes on him, gives him a charge. Says, you are somebody different now. You can have charge based on
your clothes, the covering, the clothes that you are now receiving. Verse 8, listen, O high priest Joshua and your associates seated before you, you who are men symbolic of things to come. So again, this is a vision. This is not something that literally happened. This is a vision that Zechariah saw. This is what it says. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. So, whoa, something, man, a lot of stuff going on here. A lot of stuff. I mean, definitely new clothes. But now it seems like the discussion is turning. Not towards the literal high priest Joshua, who was the first high priest after the captivity, right? But it seems like it's turning now to the Yeshua, the Jesus Christ, the God in human form. Now, how do I know that? Look at the next verse, or the same part of the verse, the last part of the verse. And I will remove the sin of this land in what? In one single day. Now, let's take a few seconds here and let's talk about the job of a high priest. The high priest is an individual who represents his people in front of God. The high priest is the mediator, the person that goes between God and men. Amen? Now, if you were in the Old Testament and you were following, you know, Moses through the desert, Aaron and his family were the high priest. So they had the job of going into the holy place, and once a year they would go into the most holy place to be able to minister for the people and to be able to put away sin. Okay? Now, Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest that has ascended into heaven itself. And who is that high priest? That is Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. You see, Jesus Christ put away sin. Jesus Christ took sin and threw it aside. Not only that, he took sin and he took our sin. I want you to catch this now. It's like you were the dirtiest person in the world. Not that you were dirty on your body, but you are just, you have clothes that are just rags. And you have nothing that is worthwhile. It is just bad. It's a shame to go out in the type of clothes that you have. You shouldn't even be seen in public with the type of clothes that you have. Let me put it this way. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I'll say myself. I shouldn't even go out in public, right, with the type of clothes that I have. That's the type of situation we're talking about here. Now, Jesus says, let me take your dirty clothes. Let me take your filthy clothes. Let me take your clothes that is not even worth anything, and let me give you something new. Let me give you something that takes away your sin. Let me give you something that covers everything about you and shows Jesus Christ. Let me give you something that purifies you. That not only makes you look good on the outside, but transforms you from the inside out. Now, when did Jesus do that? Well, he's been doing it from the very beginning, when a little lamb was slain so that Adam and Eve could have clothes. Symbolically and spiritually, he's been doing it all along. Literally, he did it at the cross. And we'll be talking about this. Well, this is, you know, this is a month that has five Sabbaths, so I'll be spending next Sabbath with you. So this will be two in a row. So if you were to miss a Sabbath, you should have missed today, because I'll be here next Sabbath and you'll get to hear the second part of this. But it is exciting to know that we have a God that did not say, those people are too dirty to even touch. We have a God who rolled up his sleeves to be able to come and be among us. To be able to come and take our filthiness and give us his righteousness. Give us his cleanliness. I mean, that is like having just dirty old sweats if you're a man, right? Sweats are the most comfortable thing in the world for a guy. Just dirty old sweats that you've had probably for the last 20 years. They're just the most comfortable thing. You've grown so comfortable that they fit so good. But they're just rotten. I mean, they're just old and holes and falling apart. You know, Christ comes, let me give you something new. Brand new. You see, that's what Jesus did at the cross. He took our filthiness. He took our sins. And he gave us his righteousness. Verse 10, in that day, once we realize that he has taken our sin and given us his righteousness, therefore we are changed people, we are different people, we are no longer under sin, but now we are under righteousness of Christ because he has clothed us with his righteousness. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine in fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. What does it mean to sit under a tree? What does it mean to invite your neighbor to sit under a tree? That means you visit with them. That means you share with them. That means you spend time getting to know them. You see, the Lord is saying here that Christ put away sin, and one day when he died at the cross, literally, he'd been doing it throughout history. He's still doing it today. Amen? He's still changing people today. He changes if you allow him to change you. He'll give you his righteousness. But now he says, in that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit. You see, once you change, once you have a new garment, a new dress, a new suit, whatever it might be, you can invite. Now, I like to think of, you know, a tea, like you mentioned there. You know, I like to think of a sit-down meal. I like to think of a social event where you sit and get to know people. Now, here in the United States, in our Western culture, sitting down and eating is becoming very unpopular. The amount of families that actually sit down to eat a meal together, it's declining and continues to decline.
Right? It's great when we're able to do it as a family. But most families in America today, everybody grabs and goes. Not so in the Eastern culture that we're talking about in the Bible. To sit down under a tree, under a vine or a fig tree. Now those two trees produce fruit, right? To sit down. Have you tried to sit down under a vine before? You have to be low. And why will you be sitting down there? Because there's grapes, probably. Figs. Have you ever had figs? Like right off the tree? I mean, they're the most... just so good. Right? That means in the Eastern culture, this means that you would actually sit down for a meal. And when you sit down for a meal, it means that you are accepting the person that is in front of you. You are accepting them for who they are. You are becoming friends with them. You become family with them. You see, when it talks in the Bible that God will give us new garments, if we put ourselves now in the vision, if God will give us new garments, that means that He will change our lives. He will transform our lives. He will change who we are because of His power, because of His righteousness. And if we allow Him to do that, then we become representatives of His kingdom. And as representatives of His kingdom, our job then becomes that by the grace of God, we are able to meet, to make friends, and to add to the family of God through the new garments and the new life that He has given us. Joshua, the high priest, received new garments. Yeshua, the high priest, Jesus Christ, the high priest, received new garments and is now sitting in the heavenly courts ministering for us as our high priest. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have received new garments. You have received a new you. And He's asking you to represent Him, to show His glory in a planet that is looking for all kind of fashion, that is looking for all kind of clothes, where fashions come, fashion go. You seen the bell bottoms 40 years ago? You're seeing them again. You seen bright colors 40, 50 years ago? You're seeing them again. You're seeing fashion coming and going. Jesus Christ says, I got a fashion for you. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wear it and wear it well. Will you wear His new garments today? May God bless you as you do. Next week, we'll be looking at the second part of this, so I wouldn't even think of missing next Sabbath. No matter what you're doing, cancel it. Make sure you're here next Sabbath. We'll sing our closing song. Our wonderful Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus, that we can come to Him and He can transform our lives. He can take our filthiness and give us His righteousness. He can take our past, and though it may be as red as blood, He can change it to something that is white as snow. Lord, You can take anything and everything that we have ever messed up, and You can make it right through Your Son. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that today, in a special way and in a mighty way, You would help us, each one of us in here, to be transformed by your blood, to be washed and cleansed by your blood, so that we become new creations, so that we are dressed differently, so that we are covered by you. Lord, I pray that this will not only change the way we look at ourselves, but that this also may change the way we look at others. I ask your blessing on each person here, Lord. And I ask that you will continue to show your mercy and your spirit to us. And Lord, in a special way, I want to thank you for my little daughter, for giving her another birthday, her first birthday, actually. And Lord, I'm just so proud of her, and I just ask that you'll bless her and bless Sherry and I in a special way to be able to continue to do your will to raise her the way that you would have us to raise her, Lord. Thank you for my church and this congregation, Lord, that they are so loving and supportive of our family. And just thank you so much for the blessings that you have bestowed on us. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God loves you, and so do I.